and Uncle Justin talk about sports?
Now on with the show.
The Joe Mays and J-Raff Show is brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop, which have been serving the greater West Lawn area delicious food for over 70 years. You are listening to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. A weekly podcast about sports since 2011. With a focus on football. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Mays and Justin Rafoff.
All right, well, Justin, we made it, finally, thankfully. Wasn't sure it was going to happen this week. Things are all over the place. Welcome into the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show, episode 397. Justin is here with me. Let me pull him up on the screen. He is streaming. He already started playing our game because we're running into technical issues, in case you couldn't figure that out already. And we're still having technical issues, so let me see if I can pull up Justin's video game that he's playing right now. Let's see if that'll work. There it is. Let's get his screen over there. So sorry for that. It's unfortunate, but... it happens. All right, there we go. So, Justin, you on offense or defense?
I just forced the punt, but I didn't know if you were ready yet.
Yeah, so. I'm ready now, so okay. we can change things up. Yep. So, and then I'll continue here to talk about how things have been crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, in the short time, we picked off Alabama on the first play.
Everyone's going to be like, no, you didn't. It's not on stream.
Right. And then
you were trying to sort through all the technical stuff, so I had to play defense or play offense too. It's been a while,
but I was able to convert and get the touchdown. And then Alabama drove a little bit, but the receiver dropped a pass that would have gotten him inside the 10, and they had to punt.
Take that. Yeah, so I updated broadcasting software. Everything was good. Went to stream, and it was like your video card's not supported anymore. The driver on your video card's not supported anymore, which I could only tell if I hit stream, but I wasn't going to do that until we started. And here we are, like 10 minutes late. But Justin started the game up 7-0, end of the first quarter. We're going to talk March Madness, Justin. I don't know if you're able to pull that up on your phone.
Yes.
To just kind of go along when they announce the number one seeds and go through the brackets. And we'll talk, as much as we can about college basketball tonight. I know you'll want to talk about Duquesne a little. But, sorry for the delayed start. But we're talking March Madness, and we'll see how this goes. See if we can beat Alabama, number two team in the nation here in our year five of our dynasty mode. March Madness is definitely here, Justin. It's been a wild week, and it's going to continue to be so, I think. Just have that feeling. So
Yeah, I heard something on the way over here. 17 number one seed teams in their conference tournaments did not make the championship game.
Wow, that is bonkers. That's never happened before.
It was just like an absurd number. Like, it was something like maybe 21 of the teams to win their conference tournaments were seeded like lower than third or something crazy. Like, it's just, a lot of interesting talk around the basketball and college basketball and the brackets, and it certainly, madness is a great term for it. Like, beyond just the marketing, like it really is madness.
Well, and I think
it's wild.
everyone's favorite part is the teams that have never made it to make it or haven't made it in a while, just like your Dukies.
Right, like a team that hasn't made it in 47 years, the Duquesne Dukes, baby. Yeah, won the Atlantic 10. They were the only team that had not won the Atlantic 10 of the current teams in the Atlantic 10. And so they won it today. Got the shout out from LeBron. The coach is LeBron's high school coach from Akron.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who's now at Duquesne.
He's been there a few years, right?
Yes. Yes. But this is by far the best Duquesne team. I mean, Duquesne wouldn't have gotten in if they didn't win today. But they're like 24-11.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, and they beat Dayton. Like, so like Dayton's a top 25 team. So
they proved it.
Yeah. Like they, you know, now VCU was probably the second best team. Well, they were ranked fifth though. But like there were other teams in the Atlantic 10 that were above. Well, like Duquesne was the sixth seed, I believe, in the tournament.
Okay.
And I think VCU was the five. So an example of one of those conference tournaments that's just wild. But it was awesome to see Duquesne. They shot out to a huge lead.
Yeah, and I saw that accidentally set off the confetti.
Oh, yes.
With like, yes. What was it, like 10 minutes to play or something like that?
And it was far from over.
Yeah, and they cut it to 3-point. VCU cut it to three.
Yeah, but Duquesne was able to hang on. And yeah, I'm super excited. Broke out the Duquesne t-shirt. Had to go digging for it, but was able to find it.
That's why we don't throw stuff away for good.
That's right. That's right.
Everything comes back around. It's like a circle.
Right. Exactly. So excited about that. And they got placed as an 11 seed.
Already have it out then.
Yep. Yeah. The seeds are out. They are an 11. And they play in Omaha against they're playing against BYU.
Okay.
So yeah,
you're hoping for an 11-7 upset, huh?
Six.
Oh, six.
Yeah. So 11-6 upset BYU would 11-6. Be incredible. Then they'd have to play the winner of Illinois Moorhead State, which could be a problem.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah. But that's a problem for future Justin.
Right. So, let's get through the first one.
Right.
Feeling pretty good about it. So that's cool.
Yes.
Our pal Stevie Mitchell and Marquette came up one game short in their conference championship, but they're looking pretty good. Did their seed come out yet, Marquette?
Let me look here. Yes, they are a two seed.
Ooh, nice. Okay, I was hoping they'd get up to a two.
They open up against Western Kentucky.
Okay.
Is
that the Hilltoppers?
Yes. Awesome mascot.
Right.
Like literal mascot. So when we look at this, I clicked on it here. Let's see. So yeah. Oh man. I'm trying to just find some clicked on the wrong thing. But yeah, they play Western Kentucky. And I don't know. I'm trying to see. Let me try and find a different. I'm trying to see if I can find where.
So are the number one seeds UConn, Purdue, Houston? Who's the other? Who am I missing?
North Carolina. Yep. So UConn is a one. North Carolina is a one. Houston is one, and Purdue is the one. Marquette is the number two in the Houston, so in the South.
Marquette's with Houston, okay.
Yeah, so they're in the South.
While Justin looks up a few more things, I'll just remember to invite all of you listening, watching us live, listening on the podcast afterwards, to just make sure you join our ESPN Tournament Challenge. We've done it every year we've done this show, so this is our 14th bracket challenge. Last year's winner hasn't joined us yet. We've reached out a few times to try to set things up with Kevin. Just haven't been able to link up. So we'll get him on here now that the high school basketball season's over. And he's not quite ready for you know, fall golf with his daughter. But hopefully we can get him here just to talk. It would be fun to get him here in the next few weeks while March Madness is going on, since he's such a big basketball guy. But that'll be available all over the place, across our social media. We will have links to join the Bracket Challenge. The winner gets a show t-shirt and the opportunity to come on the show in person or remote if you're not local. And you can choose a sports topic. Obviously, Justin and I get to agree to talk about that sports topic. We have to put that addendum in there because of my sister.
Yeah, I was going to say, why is that?
But it's always a lot of fun. You know, last year around this time, we had Andy on, Andy Hofford, Dr. Hofford, who won 2 years ago. We'll have Kevin on soon, and then we're going to be maybe welcoming in a new victor here this spring. But we usually get like 60 to 70 brackets in the challenge. It's a lot of fun. Everyone's always really interested those first couple of days, thinking that they're going to have a shot because they pulled a few upsets. But it always goes down to the wire. You never know who's got that chance until the championship weekend. But this coming Thursday, Friday, Justin, is some of my favorite days of the year.
Oh yeah, that's when it's at its best. And so just kind of getting to see, you know, just it's wall to wall basketball. First of all, you know, from lunchtime through well after I go to bed. It is just pure college basketball madness, and you know. Sometimes, and I feel like more and more, we're starting to see some like crazy upsets.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know lots of people talk about how the upsets are great, but, you know, come the second weekend, I want to see. No, I don't care.
No.
Like, you know, and I get what they mean, you know, like seeing like Rhode Island versus like St. Peter's in, you know, next weekend. Well, you know what I mean. In 2 weekends,
right,
is not what a lot of people have on in their mind. They want to see North Carolina against, you know, Kentucky and you know, things like that. And I get that. But at the same time, like, that doesn't outweigh the give me the St. Peter's upsetting people now, you know.
Well, like, I'm just sitting here thinking how awesome it was to watch Furman last year. Like, yeah. That game was ridiculous.
Yes.
That was a ridiculous game, and I got to see it. It was fantastic. And something I want to see. Like, that's what I want to see, especially as fans of Penn State who just don't have a lot of history with the college basketball tournament, at least the main men's one. You know, they've won the NIT a few times in the last 15 years, but they haven't really been able to get over the hump very much when it comes to the NCAA, you know, the March Madness, the one that everyone talks about. Just hasn't been something that Penn State's been able to accomplish.
Penn State's best year to do it was 2020.
Right. Yeah. And that got yanked away, as it did for so many, unfortunately.
Right. As we look here, I know, you know, there's some of these. I'm just looking. Like, Duke plays Vermont. Vermont has been hot. I think they've won 10 in a row in the first round.
Wow.
Let me phrase it. Vermont has not won 10 in a row in the first round. Vermont has won 10 in a row, period. They play Duke in the first round.
Okay, I got you.
Sorry. You know, and that is the same bracket. Wisconsin, who lost in the Big Ten championship today, plays James Madison. That's a 5-12 game. James Madison's the 12, but they went 31-3 this year,
Woo!
Including with a win over Michigan State, like to open the season or to start the season, you know, something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, talk about a heck of a year for James Madison sports.
I was there just thinking that.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
Oh no. Oh, whew.
Never a doubt. You know, you look, yeah, I think a 2 is a good spot for Marquette. I feel like they deserve it.
So
me, especially, you know what, and I know it's a long way off, but they had a couple huge wins out in Maui.
Yeah. A while ago.
Right.
They were number one team. They were ranked number one at one time. So.
And one of the nice things is they're not in UConn's bracket.
struggle with UConn this
UConn
year.
Has been the thorn in their side. And they don't have to worry about that. I'm looking. I know we talk about like bubble teams and things like that. I don't think I saw Pitt on there.
Oh, so, what a shame.
Yeah, I know you're heartbroken over that.
Man, how they've fallen. They used to be one of those things where like, yeah, we're not great at football. We're okay, but we can really
pencil
play basketball.
Them into the Elite Eight every year.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in college.
When we were in college, yep. From like
And
from 2000 to like 2012 or whatever.
Like, look, I know it was not your strong feeling, but for me, like, Duquesne was not good. Like, you know, having Pitt be good was at least exciting while we were out there.
Right, while you're there. Sure.
But they also, they played a brand of college basketball. They were just so physical. And they had built the new arena, and it was always, they had like what they had the zoo shirts because it was like the Pittsburgh Zoo, you know, the Oakland Zoo.
Right.
And because it was crazy. All the games were sold out. Like, it was a cool, like, it was the college ticket in town. Because their football team was not the ticket.
Who's this Bama defender blowing me up? Oh, Will Anderson Jr. Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, UConn's the number one overall.
No.
And that makes sense because they were the best team kind of for at least the last third of the season. They've been kind of the number one team.
And, oh, they've definitely been.
And, been that, you know, they've been going there. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I was a little surprised they gave up 90 points to St. John's yesterday, who I don't see. I don't think I saw St. John's on there. I don't think they made it. But
yeah, so.
Oh, I didn't realize. See, I was so out of it. I didn't realize we're into the third quarter.
Yeah, almost the end of the third quarter. Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, very good. Very good all around. I'll see if I can pull up the bracket here. And we can roll through this as it's being announced. It's on CBS, right?
It is. I was having trouble getting the CBS stuff on my phone. Okay. I could get it, but like it kept either taking me to like bracketology stuff from 4:30, which I'm like, that's not the bracket. Yeah. Or like, oh, do you want to fill out a another pick?
No, I don't want to do that yet. Thanks. All right, here. Complete in the tournament bracket reveal. Let's see. Did you turn them over again?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I never scared.
Man, we are taking it too. This is quite the turnaround for the rest of this week.
Yeah. We were saving up all the good mojo for NCAA 14 football.
I'm just staying positive though, because this is a big week. We've been talking March Madness.
Yeah.
Love it. Even though like I'm not a huge college basketball guy, I probably still am a bigger college basketball fan than NBA. I mean, I like the Sixers. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But there's just something about college basketball that really gets me going, even though Penn State's not been good my entire life.
Okay. Yes. I will give just quick to butt in. I will give Penn State and Coach Rhodes credit though. This year was supposed to be a absolute dumpster fire, and they battled. It was certainly not that.
Yeah, I'm not, and this isn't me poo-pooing them and what they did this year. This is just the reality program in general.
Yes.
Hasn't ever gotten over that. You know, I was riding high in 01 when they upset North Carolina. Like, that was great. I was in Mr. Meyer's math class. He's a big Tar Heel fan.
I wore my dad's Penn State basketball jersey to school. And I remember Mr. Conway was like, dude, I think he left the price tag on. Like, he was I think Penn State had busted his bracket.
Good. Yeah. That's what we want here.
Yeah, but yo, you were in Mr. Meyer's class. Yeah,
I was in Mr. Meyer's class.
Ooh.
Yeah, huge UNC guy. So and he was like, oh, where'd you get that? I was like, dude, I've been a Penn State fan my entire life. I don't want to hear that. And maybe I don't talk about Penn State basketball, but
Just because there isn't a whole lot to talk about.
I'm a Penn State guy through and through. Believe me, this is not a Boscov special that I got just now. But yeah, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week is some of the best sports times of the year. I'm looking forward to filling out the bracket with Natalie and Haley. They love to do it too as well, and they both pulled some crazy upsets and gotten close to winning a few years. Natalie picked UMBC 7 years ago over Virginia.
Oh,
I think Haley had Furman last year, like we talked about.
Yes.
And obviously they don't know, like they don't know what's going on. Like,
yeah, but if you look at my bracket, neither do I. Like, they probably beat me last year, you know, like
apparently they don't want me to kick a field goal. So, but also this week, big deal, Justin.
Yeah.
Is the release of Ghostbusters. So I am just like, I just cannot let anything nice slow me down.
Nice pass.
I got, March Madness, first day of March Madness on Thursday. I got Ghostbusters premiere that night. A bunch of people are going. I wish you and Greg and the families could go. But
I know. It's tough. Austin has lacrosse practice. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I know. There's stuff going on.
But he's also at that point where
he wants to stay up for things. Yeah. And we let him stay up later than obviously we have before. But like you or I, for example, we stay up. It's not fun the next day, but you just right. suck it up and do what you need to do.
Yeah.
He's a little more hit or miss on that part of it. You sure. know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, to be fair, he and I like slept like down in the basement last night and like video games, like played, watched movies, you know, stuff like that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cause it was pretty unplanned. But that was cool. So, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, that's 9, right?
That's the last 9. One. Yeah. Okay. That's the last one. So far
he hadn't seen it is according to him.
Did he see 7 or 8?
Yes, I believe so.
I'm sorry about 8.
I know he's seen 7. I think he's seen 8 as well.
That's a bummer.
We watched that last night. Dude, 8 is like the best one.
God, get out.
But so we watched that last night. And that ran late just because we started it late as well. But he... but along nice way to break that tackle. But he was able to like today, this morning, like he was tired, but it wasn't like disrupt the day tired. Does that make sense?
Right.
So, that's fun when, now that we're getting to that point, that's the other aspect to it though. With school on Friday, I just wasn't sure if I could push that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is so weird. The way movies have been released has changed so much over the last 20 years. You know, when we were in high school, if there was a big movie coming out, it was released at 12:01, you know, Thursday night into Friday, 12:01.
I remember standing outside whatever that theater is now.
It was either Fox Berkshire or Carmike Cinema.
Right. Like
now it's an AMC.
Yeah, standing outside, like in lines wrapped outside the building sometimes for movies. Like,
yep.
This is a thing to do.
And,
back in my day.
But like my parents, when we were in middle school, junior high, high school, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, even 10th grade, like I wasn't going to a movie at midnight Friday and still have to go to school on Friday. Like that was a non-starter. That wasn't happening. So we'd have to go Friday night. We also had back in our day, we had to wait in line to get tickets. Couldn't just buy them online.
Right, right. You had to like, we would sometimes, somebody would be like, oh, I can go over and get them. Or one of my buddies, I'll leave him not named on the air, but I'll tell you later. You probably know who it is.
I probably do.
But he worked there, so he helped us out getting tickets.
The hookup. You gotta have the hookup.
Right. Oh,
but you know, now they were started like, well, now we're gonna do it earlier on Thursday night so people don't have to stay up till midnight. We'll start releasing them. Then it was like 9 o'clock, then it was 8 o'clock, then it was 7, then it's 6. There's the first Ghostbusters showing is Thursday at like 2 o'clock.
Oh man.
And I was like, oh man, I would love to go to that. But like it's like I have work and the girls are getting out of school, and then I just picture
in my mind it being like 4 o'clock, and Kelly like texting you like
where are you
and you're like actually
I went to the movie.
I got the girls out of school.
I took the girls out early
at lunch today, and we went and saw Ghostbusters.
It crossed my mind not to do that without saying something to her. No. But. Like about doing that, but I was like,
"By the way, they're going to give up the shutout here."
Well, and mostly I didn't want to do it because we're trying to get a big group to go, and we still did, but then we couldn't do like the 5 o'clock showing because Brent wasn't available, and Brent and I are the Ghostbusters guys. We've been doing this for our entire lives, literally. So I was like, "Well, I definitely want to see it with them." I saw Afterlife. Just me and Brent saw Afterlife in November 2021. Did you pick it?
Yep.
You can just finish it out. So we're going to the 7:40 show on Thursday night. I'm super excited. The premiere was Thursday. I watched that from my hospital bed. I was watching all the,
feel like you buried the lead there on that one.
Yeah. Hanging out, watching the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire world premiere. It just feels so different this time around because Bill Murray like is super excited, super stoked. He's been on all the talk shows. He's really talking up. He's really excited. I'm excited for it. It seems to be a little bit different than the last one, which was kind of a soft reboot, and they had to address the death of Harold Ramis and moving on with his character, and they kind of did a lot of stuff from the original from 1984, which is fantastic. I love Afterlife. It's great. But I think this new one is going to be a little more different and take stuff from other aspects of Ghostbusters that people aren't aware of. And the hype train, at least from Sony and Ghost Corps that oversees everything, they have been promoting this nonstop. So I'm really hoping it works out for them and they have a good return on investment. And this movie is at a minimum, you know, critically well-received. It doesn't have to be, you know, an A-plus cinema score, you know, a 99 on right. Rotten Tomatoes. But I want them to see a return, because if they get the return,
then it will grow the franchise.
They'll do another one. And I know that they've been talking about doing that anyway. So I would like to see it continue, obviously. So, hey, we beat Alabama 24-0 at home, shutting out the number two team in the nation. That should help recruiting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm excited to go to Ghostbusters. So Kelly, me, and the girls are going.
That's awesome.
Jason's going.
Well, what I'm hoping is that it works out really well for you, and then you'll be willing to go again.
I'm definitely ready
to
go.
When I want to take Austin.
Yeah, when you and Austin want to go, and if Greg and Jack want to go, because he couldn't go because Greg has his...
Well, you know, like it would only make sense that, like, oh, you got to take us, you know? Like, you got to be there to answer questions for the kids, because this is not me joking. Like, I won't be able to answer Austin's questions on Ghostbusters stuff. Well, why did everybody laugh at that, buddy? I don't know.
But... yeah, Brian and Amy are going, Brent and Caitlin are going, my cousin Nick's going and his parents as well. And then, Frank, Kate and Sophia next door. So we got like 15 of us, I think, going Thursday night. It's going to be awesome. My dad and Bernie too. I don't think I mentioned them. So yeah, a lot of family and friends heading out, really excited. The girls have their Ghostbusters flight suits. Haley's going to wear Natalie's old Halloween costume, and I got Natalie a new one. So they're going to walk into the theater with their proton packs on.
That's awesome, dude.
So I'm super excited. Now I just got to get through these four work days.
Well, it's funny because, like, for a lot of people, and this is a lot due to, like, just the way things developed with the, like, franchises, but, like, this is not to take away. You are a huge Star Wars fan.
I am, yeah.
But, like, I think it's safe to say, like, Ghostbusters is the top, right?
Yeah,
like,
Ghostbusters was my first
love. Yes.
That was the first thing that I can remember. Like, I got into Star Wars much later. Like, I was closer to the point where you were kind of getting out of fandoms when I started to love Star Wars.
It's also a little harder to compare because, like, Star Wars put out a lot of stuff.
Before we were born.
Like, right, yes, before we were born. But also, like... later, you know, at a later time, too.
As opposed to, look at all those commits. That was awesome.
Yes, that was awesome. We got it. That this is almost like beating Alabama was a big game for us.
Yeah, so this is a big thing. I was really bummed 3 years ago, 4 years ago, really, because Afterlife was what is essentially Ghostbusters 3 was supposed to come out in July 2020. And obviously we know that didn't happen. Then it got delayed to, I believe it was March 2021, and then it finally got pushed all the way to November 2021, and that's where we saw it. But that was cool because Brett and I went opening night, that Thursday night, the two of us went, and I was very conflicted on the movie. I wasn't sure if I enjoyed it or not, but I think...
I haven't seen that one at all. Like, and that's not me trolling. Like, legit, I have not seen that one.
You need to see that before we see Frozen Empire.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you saw the first two, right?
Dude.
From the 80s?
Yes, but it's probably was a lot closer to the 80s than it is to now when I saw them. Yes.
Well, so Brett and I got out of the first showing, the premiere in November 2021, and I was kind of conflicted, but I think it was just that I was so emotional about it getting like we actually just got Ghostbusters 3. Like I sat in the theater and watched another Ghostbusters movie. That was then. This is not me trashing the one that was done with the SNL ladies. Like I have no problem with Answer the Call. The one that came out in 2016. My problem with that is it didn't continue the story from the 80s. It had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So, like, it's hard for me to get all wrapped up in it.
It was like they paid for the rights to be able to call it, like, Ghostbusters, right. But it really wasn't Ghostbusters.
And there were nods and connections. You know, Bill Murray was in it as a different character. Dan Aykroyd was in it as a cameo as a different character. Ernie Hudson was in it as a different character. So... But then we went back that Saturday, you know, the opening weekend, and I had rented a theater because it was still kind of COVID times. And I had like 25 people there, and they loved everyone. The people that went were like, "Are you renting a theater again? It's not the same anymore. They don't do it like that. It's hard to get on the weekends because COVID is most people don't pay much attention to it anymore."
Which is good. That means people are going back, but like at the same time, for our convenience.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Everyone really, really enjoyed it. So I wouldn't mind you. If there are people interested, I would totally put one together for Frozen Empire if I can find, you know, a place and a time to do it. But so I was trying to mess around and pull up more of the bracket, but I wasn't having a real good success finding a bracket. I'm seeing lists, but it's hard to see stuff with just lists.
Right, right. Well, and so much of the stuff is just leading you to, they want you to fill out a bracket
for, right,
on their,
right,
on their platform. So like when I look at stuff here, okay, so I'm just trying to think. See, and like, man, I don't watch a lot of college basketball anymore, outside of the tournament. So I look at it. All right. Yale making it was cool. They won on a buzzer beater.
Oh, awesome.
And so they made the tournament. They play Auburn. So that's a tough, ooh, tough one. But like that's the reality of it.
Right.
Just
being able to hang that banner, tournament right, champions, right, and you made it to
Iowa
the,
State.
March Madness, right, that's what you
Iowa
need.
State that won the Big 12, which is arguably one of the better or strongest conferences this year for basketball. They got a 2 seed. They play South Dakota State, where I actually – do you remember my friend Mike Livingston?
Yeah.
He works for South Dakota State.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah. And then North Carolina is going to play – I believe one of the play-in teams or first round, opening round, you know, like teams. Yeah. Michigan State made it as a 9. They're 8-9 against Mississippi State. I wanted to send this to you the other day, but you had a lot going on, and I was just like, yeah, you know what? Just let it go right now. But Mississippi State wore all black unis with, like, white trim.
No.
And it on the front, all it said, like in like block lettering, was State. All right, no node to maroon, no node to.
And what's
nod
the point of that?
To now on the back, there was a like, I don't. There's probably a name for it, but the patch that goes like below the collar on the back. You know what I mean? Like on, especially on basketball jerseys and things like that. There was like an Alabama or not Alabama. That would be
that silly. Would be weird,
but. But honestly, I bet they could do it and a lot of people wouldn't even know the difference. Not Mississippi State fans, but you know, like because the like Mississippi and Alabama are kind of like those mirrored,
right,
like semi similar shapes.
Yeah, they're next to each other.
Right. But there's like an outline of Mississippi there on the back. But it's only like maybe like an inch or two. Like, you know, it's not like a prominent
right
thing on the back.
It doesn't stand out real well.
Right. And I was just like, man, the front of their uniforms, it just looked like you were watching like a generic like movie where
yeah,
they didn't have
right,
the rights
that's what
to
I mean.
Something.
Like, why is that? Why right is that
like,
something
even,
we're doing?
Like, even if they put something on the front, like on the front on the collar, like to me, like put a bulldog there or right put like
use your colors. Why
put,
are you using
put
black
like the cowbell there or something? You know what I mean? Like, now that might be purely a football thing for that, but like put something there. It was just the front of the uniform did not look, could not look more generic.
I hate that.
I'll pull it up for you and show you here on
it's frustrating. But, very frustrating.
But anyway, that was a matchup. Hang on. Let's see. Nebraska, our buddy.
Andy Herr has got to be
Herr
happy.
Nebraska, the only Power 5 team that has never won a tournament game.
They've never won a tournament game.
Correct.
Wow. Who are they playing?
They are an 8 seed. They play number 9, Texas A&M.
Oh, no.
So somebody said it's going to be like a bruiser-like type game. I am.
Well, I hope for Andy's sake because
I
love
Andy. I was
going to
say, there is not a lot of times where I find myself rooting for Nebraska
right
in anything.
Right.
I am rooting for Nebraska in that game, and it may be purely because
it's
of
only because Andy of Andy.
Also, little wrinkle here. Texas A&M just stole their AD.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, how about that? Albert's yeah leaving.
That's not a coincidence.
How
that's is not just these things falling
oh
in
no
line.
That's CBS or whoever helps these bracket people be like,
yes,
this is a matchup on the table. I'll take that. Thank
yes
you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. And the winner gets Houston.
No. Well, good luck.
Assuming Houston gets by Longwood. So,
well, you know, up until what, 2017, we could say a 16 seed's never
right.
never won, and then Virginia got the bite.
That's right. I was in.
You were there, right?
I was in a hotel, like bar, waiting. I went to the Villanova and Duke games the next day in Pittsburgh, but I was at the hotel with like my college buddies.
All right, so let me see. I'm gonna see if I can actually activate my our bracket challenge already. Get that started for people can start joining. And then, you know, as much as there's not much to talk about March Madness wise with the bracket. I think we.
But that was my fault. I broke contain.
We have a lot of free agency stuff that happened in the NFL, yeah. too.
Yes, we do.
So we probably should go around that. I think the biggest thing. Honestly, I don't know which one counts as a bit. There's been a lot of quarterback and running back moves.
Yes.
So let's start with the Eagles, though. They signed Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
DeAndre Swift left as a free agent to the Chicago Bears. The Eagles have been, I would say, active, but they've actually probably lost the more big-name players than they added because of the retirements.
Right, yes.
But adding Saquon is huge because of his local ties. You know, he's originally from up in the Allentown area, played at Penn State, left the Giants now after a few years, and now is in Philadelphia. And I know the stats out there are very much in favor of Saquon rebounding because he's going from a team that had basically a bottom five in everything on offense to a team that's a top five in nearly everything, at least the first, you know, half of last year for sure.
Yeah. And you and I both know, that stuff on paper doesn't always pan out. However, you know, like that as of now, that's what you have to go on, you know, and like, you can't ignore it.
Right. It looks like a seamless fit,
right? You can't ignore it all, but like at the same time, it doesn't guarantee anything. I think, you know, it drew some attention because it's the opposite of what they did last year. Last year, they let Miles Sanders walk. Miles Sanders, I think, ended up making like maybe $8 million last year, roughly, with Carolina. And the Eagles paid like their top five running backs like $7.5 million combined, I think. You know, and again, this is not to say the Eagles will have – like this coming year, I think is going to be the last year of Hurts's like regular deal. Like,
okay, before it kicks in,
right? I think I could be off on that, but like this year was still like it's not terrible. But like you look at, I think it was something like the combined cap hit of like Hurts, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. Like Saquon, like it was a bunch of guys, right?
Yeah.
Is like not what it's like only a couple million more than what the cap hit for Daniel Jones is this year to the Giants alone. And I know people, you know, there was a lot to be said. I think, I think you would probably agree with this. Like the anger by some of the Giants fans over the move that he would be go to like, you know, a rival team like that.
That happens all the time.
I feel
sitting with like, Patrick Queen right now.
Right. I feel like that does fuel some of the hype with the Eagles though. You know what I mean? Like almost like think of like siblings, you know, and like you have one that like is annoyed by something and you know, if they show that they're annoyed by that, the other one is just going to pounce on that opportunity. Yep. I'm not speaking like this happened all afternoon at my house. But you know, and it's like, listen, if it bothers you that much, like you can't, I'm not saying it can't bother you, but like the moment you put it out there, you're going to start like you open yourself up. And I feel like that happened a little bit with the Giants. Like, don't get me wrong. I feel like people would be happy about the Saquon to the Eagles thing here. Cause there is a decent crossover between Penn State and Eagles fan.
Right.
You're looking at one right here.
Right here.
But I think it is in part fueled a little bit by like the Giants, just like so many Giants fans being so mad about it. Like,
dude, hold on to the ball.
And separate from like, what did you want him to do? the Giants didn't make him an offer.
No, they decided to go with Daniel Jones last year. They could have signed him long term last year, and they decided not to.
They could have franchised him again. Now, I don't know. Maybe there was an unwritten agreement that they wouldn't do that, or an understanding that they wouldn't do that, or maybe they just didn't want to pay him to do that. Like that, then that's fine. The Giants didn't make him an offer. Right. Now, it very well could have been that the Giants told him, well, go out there and see what you can get.
Right.
And he did, and they were like, yeah, we can't touch that. You know, okay. Like that might be it. You know, the Eagles did pay Saquon more than what other running backs in the market got. I think if you're looking at it, he caught it, but he might be dead.
Sorry. It's a digital guy. Right. I'm fine with that.
If, you know, like if you look at it, they did, but like I said to you, I think I said to you, if not, I meant to, I hope we end up paying him into that $40 million because that means he's hitting his incentives. Right. And oh my gosh, that would, the CMBS is successful and a hit with the Eagles would just extend that out.
How, like, is it a 3-year deal?
It's a 3-year deal. It's in the 30s, like basically. I think it's in the 20s in terms of guaranteed. It's in the 30s most likely, and it could climb into the 40s if with incentives.
Penn State beat Nebraska, 28-23. Sorry, Andy.
Screenshot it and send it to Andy. But make sure you also send the clip of us saying we're rooting for Nebraska. Although Andy knows how our fandom works, so he might not actually want that to happen.
Right.
I also think Andy's take on things, he probably wouldn't wish Nebraska basketball on his worst enemy. That it sure seems that way.
Yeah, so... Oh, here we go. I'm going to open up our group here. Oh, my uncle's already in the group. I didn't even, like, restart the group, and it's ready to go. Enter group password.
I think Adam's calling my phone. But I think my phone's over on your desk.
Yeah, he is.
You can answer it if you want.
No, I'm not doing that. I forgot the password. So I think I could just hit rejoin. Rejoin. No, it was PSU 2022. Apparently, I didn't change it. Do I have to reactivate it or anything? No, somehow. All right. Well, all right. So, Tournament Challenge, I'll be posting that link to hopefully sometime tonight, get everyone on there. I look at my uncle's already in. I didn't even send it out. Can always count on him. Maybe he didn't want to forget because he's on a cruise. Maybe he found it and joined it so he wouldn't forget. So tourney tips off March 21st. That's this Thursday at 12:15. You got to have all your stuff in by then. So Eagles getting Barkley, obviously they lost Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey to retirement. I think Kelsey's like, man, I wish I was there to block for Saquon now. But the other big thing, Justin, has been the quarterbacks.
Yeah. Quarterback carousel. Quarterback factory continues in Philly as they traded for Kenny Pickett.
Right, Mariota's out. He's a free agent. He went to Washington. Yeah.
So they traded for him as a backup.
At least a bridge, bridge backup.
Right. You know, I wouldn't surprise me if they maybe see. I don't think this is their plan, but you know, like if somebody was in need of a quarterback come like training camp or mid training camp and they moved him, but that's not likely to happen with a quarterback, but you never know. It would be interesting to see, like he kind of took a beating like publicly this week.
Pickett did.
Yeah. Just because he apparently when he like basically asked out in Pittsburgh when they brought Russell Wilson in. Now, part of me is like, I kind of understand.
Well, I mean, it's a tough situation.
So here's the thing. And I get, and I agree with people like, it seems like he's shying away from competition. You're not wrong. I would agree. It does seem like he's shying away from competition. However, I think one of the big pieces there is that
he was also told that, like, well, Russell Wilson is going to get first crack with the ones. So, like, it's not an even competition.
Right.
You know, like, so I don't – I think both of those things are true. Like, yes, he's kind of ducking out on that competition. But he was also told, like, hey, the cards are stacked against you in the competition.
Right.
Like, that – like, I don't know. That's kind of tough. Now – that being said, I think Russell Wilson's a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett.
No, I agree. Like, that's the thing.
So, like, and I think the Steelers are better with Russell Wilson, who's making $1.2 million from the Steelers this year.
Yeah, because the Broncos are paying the rest.
Right. So, like, it's complex, but at the same time, it seems odd to me that he doesn't necessarily have no trade clause, you know, but like that, like, all right, well, now the situation you find yourself in is not competing for a starting job. You're a defined backup, you know, like.
Right. Yeah. Oh.
Just weird.
It's weird. It's weird. But so all this happened. So Russell Wilson was told before the old league year ended that he was going to be released.
That was a weird situation.
He could go wherever. He ends up in Pittsburgh. Good they don't him. Resign Mason Rudolph.
I know people like joke about it, but I think that's a good fit, and I think he makes Pittsburgh better.
Oh, I agree. I think
especially at $1.2 million. Like,
oh, it's a bargain. Yeah. I mean, I know he's at the downside of
his honestly, even if they're paying him 12 for a quarterback.
Yeah. That's gonna do it for the first half. They're just trying to keep this thing close. 21-0. I'm posting the tournament challenge link, on social media now. So if you're listening live or watching afterwards, go find us across social media and get your bracket in. No excuses.
Yes, but quarterbacks everywhere. So let's see. Speaking of, now I just kind of was like, okay, what about Kenny Pickett? But look at what Pittsburgh's quarterback room was last year compared to what it's going to be this year.
Right.
And maybe that's the writing that, well, I think what Pittsburgh did with their quarterback position is actually really good, because they found themselves in a spot now where if Russell Wilson is so good that they can't let him go after this season,
right? They can,
then that means he had a great season, right? And they got a bargain, and all right, then they can maybe work out a deal, and they still can. I think they can probably pick up Justin Fields' fifth year, right? Or does that?
Yeah, they would have to do that, I think, really soon.
Right. I think they should. But
yeah, give you an extra year.
Right. Gives you 2 years. But even if it doesn't, you already got the next guy, you know? And so, like, if they do fine but don't do great, you get Fields in there. You can get him. You get figure out what you got with him. Like, now, that being said, I was a little I jokingly said this when they went after Russell Wilson. It was like, they just must hate Mason Rudolph. Like, I guess he's just not the guy.
He played pretty good at the end of last year. So I don't really get it.
That's the thing that surprises me is two separate seasons, he's come in and kind of been maybe better than the guys who were currently playing. And then both times they were like, yeah, we're not going with you, Mason.
And now he's the backup in Tennessee behind Will Levis.
Right, right. Another team that has not been able to get their has not been able to get right their quarterback picks.
Right. And the whole Tennessee thing is weird. I don't want to spend much time there, but how about the Vikings and the Kirk Cousins leaving and the Falcons coming in, taking him away from them, and then them trading up back into the first with the Texans. So they have two first round picks. Right. It's getting interesting to see what's happening with this quarterback class. I know people are really gaga over Caleb Williams. There's some people that really like Drake May. There's a whole bunch of other guys in this class as well. But just look back to 2021 and the guys that we're just talking about, that group has been pretty awful. And up until the end of last year, I think Trevor Lawrence was on a roller coaster where we didn't think he was that great. He didn't look that great. Then he got pretty good and looked pretty good until the middle of last season, and it fell off completely.
Right. So that leaves me at a point with Trevor Lawrence too. Of if the Chargers don't choke that away, what are my thoughts on him now? You know, like,
I don't know. This is a huge year for them, for him. He's the only one that could salvage that quarterback class anymore, unless the guys that have now been discarded and traded are about to get cut, or someone has to give them something just to take Zach Wilson off their hands.
Right.
It shows how much a crapshoot the draft is. So maybe Chicago Bears fans are happy right now that they don't have to worry about their team possibly going with Justin Fields for another year. They're ready for Caleb Williams, and then maybe the Commanders are ready for Drake May. what's going to happen with the Patriots at three? Are they going to take someone like Daniels or Nix? Or I doubt they're going to take Penix or McCarthy, but you know, this is like a five-person quarterback draft again, and I don't know if I see it. I feel like too often people are trying to find something like Patrick Mahomes, and they end up getting burnt, you know, 90% of the time.
You mean to tell me that Patrick Mahomes might be an actual generational talent?
Right, yeah. And no one was talking about him that way when he was coming out.
No.
I legit remember being
like, wait, what did they just do?
Yeah, the Chiefs traded up to, was it 10, right? Didn't they move up from like 17 to 10 or something like that? They ended up being a top 10 guy, and obviously he's proved that he was well worth it, but it still is so funny to me that they got that because of the Bills, and now like the Bills are struggling to stay with Mahomes in the regular season in the playoffs, and the Bills helped the Chiefs get there. But everything's connected like that. It's a fun little thing when you start talking about the draft. But
yeah,
well, that's coming up in a month, Justin. 5 weeks.
What was it? It said like the Bears have turned in like those. They had so much draft capital. And they've turned it into
basically nothing.
Right. Well, and then they talk about like what the Steelers have gotten from the Bears because of those things.
Right. They essentially got rid of who is that receiver? He's with the Dolphins now.
Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool, yeah.
Right. But they also, with that pick then, they got Joey Porter Jr., who was their best DB. And then they got Justin Fields. Like, they're like, the Steelers just keep fleecing the Bears.
Yeah.
Man, I'm shocked. We sat here maybe last week or in these past few weeks, like talking like, what do you do if you're the Bears? Well, they obviously are going quarterback now, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, they're getting...
Which is fine. When you're at one, like, it doesn't matter if you kind of show your hand. Like,
oh, yeah,
or it matters much less if you show your hand.
Right.
But at the same time, like, man, I really thought they were going to go, like, offensive lineman at the nine pick and, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. at that one, but.
Yeah, I mean, they're going Caleb Williams at one. I don't know what they're doing at the bottom half of the first round now, but.
Listen, if Caleb Williams doesn't have a great start, it's going to be interesting.
I still think like we could hear something happening with, you know, where he wants to play and his dad. Like, I feel like there's stuff that could still happen there.
Oh, you mean to tell me that you don't think it's just going to be nice and quiet nice and calm straightforward for the next month?
No, I don't.
No.
So we'll see. But do you think Drake May goes at two? You think that's who Washington's focused on?
Possibly.
You think they go flasher with Daniels?
So it's so hard because this is going to be the first draft under that new ownership group.
Right. And I feel like they got to go quarterback, but it doesn't have to be Drake May.
Correct, correct. And that's why I just don't know. This is no offense to whoever they pick. It's just whoever it is, I hope it's not the right guy.
So while we're talking about Washington, they traded their last UNC quarterback, Sam Howell, to the Seahawks. After the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins, they traded Desmond Ridder to the Arizona Cardinals. So it's just like there's been a lot of movement. My Dolphins have been active. I would say name recognition-wise, they've gotten worse because they got rid of Xavier Howard and Jerome Baker, Christian Wilkins, Andrew Van Ginkle.
Like, Christian Wilkinson is a tough one, in my opinion. Like, Christian Wilkins, I've always liked him.
That one hurts because I like him. But
I also understand you can't just keep guys you always like.
Right, and I do feel that Chris Greer, after looking, you know, the team was looking a little lost, mostly because they were in a bit of a precarious salary cap situation. I believe the front office rebounded nicely. I think they filled in some good pieces. It wasn't flashy, but I am okay with what they did. Now,
I like the, like, talk about not flashy moves. Did they get Berrios?
They re-signed him. He was there last year.
Oh, okay, okay. But, yeah. I like that move.
Yep. Well, and they got to get ready. Like, they got to give Tua a contract extension. He's playing on his fifth year now.
Yep.
So they got to extend him. They're going to need to extend Waddle eventually. They need help on the offensive line. Now, Teron Armstead is back, but he played like half the games like he's been known to play. When he's healthy, he's pretty good, but he's not always in the lineup. They did lose one of their offensive guards. They lost their center. So if the Miami's going to be anything this year, it's going to be because of the offensive line. So they got to address that in the draft. Now, I know my dad would want me to talk about the Cowboys, but there quite literally is like nothing to talk about because Dallas has done nothing but lose players. They've only, I think, re-signed one of their own guys. Dallas is very weird because Jerry Jones is talking about being all in, and they haven't done anything.
They let the left tackle walk. Tyron Smith just left. And I know you hate that. And listen, Tyron Smith, he's got some wear on the tires there, but he's an upgrade on the offensive line for the Jets.
They're reviewing it.
Oh, sorry.
He's definitely down.
So we might be switching right back. But, like, yeah. Now, I think I sent you that thing the other day. The number of big-name guys the Cowboys have coming up for contracts
it's huge.
In the next two seasons is huge. Basically, every playmaker they have is coming up for I shouldn't say that. That's not accurate. But many of their playmakers are up next.
Yeah, well, now they got like this off the field stuff with Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott, like both like the lawsuits and stuff. It's not good for Dallas. I'm not feeling very good about Dallas right now in terms of their possibilities of a good year in 2024. But I don't think the Giants are going to be that good. I don't think Washington's going to be that good. Like, they still have a lot of teams that they're better than.
Right. We're just playing musical chairs as we force the punt then. But anyway, yeah, so there's not a lot there. But Dallas was good. You know, like they were good. So I don't know. Sometimes not being making the splashiest moves.
Right. Both of our teams, Justin, have gone through that where you win the offseason. Everyone thinks you look so good.
And then Vince Young comes in as a backup and declares your team as the dream team.
Right.
Like, dude, as a backup.
We all know how this works out. We
don't need you to say that.
Honestly, growing up, that was what the Redskins would do. They'd throw money around,
right,
and they'd do nothing. They'd be awful.
Right.
And, you know, the Eagles did that with, like, the Nnamdi Asamoah years, like you talked about.
Right. And it's not, like, bad. Like, some, you know, it's not like they're like, oh, this is going to be terrible. But they do that. You're just throwing money at a problem at that point. You know, like.
It just doesn't seem to work that way. Well, that's like. Filled through the draft. They sign their fringe guys or guys that they developed. They might supplement with a guy here or there. Look at the Chiefs. Like, I feel like every year that the Chiefs have been this best team for like 6-7 years now, and they'll lose a guy that you're like, man, I can't believe they got rid of him or didn't try to get it. Or they traded Tyreek Hill.
But they
had a plan.
I said it to our group this week. I'm like, oh man, Hollywood Brown's going to have a good season now, isn't he?
He has to.
Just
like,
because.
That's a huge get.
Just because. Like, I'm like, I just see him being a guy that's going to be big. He's not going to be the one. I feel like Rice is going to be the one there, right? Like,
right. But that makes it even easier on him.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and this is not, well, maybe it is a shocker, but like in the system they were running in Baltimore, it's going to be hard for anyone to be like that big, right? And you had Lamar kind of in and out a little bit. Now I say like Mahomes is the best quarterback he's played with, which is true. But it's not like he was playing with no talent at quarterback. Arizona was a dumpster fire. But like he put himself in that situation. You know, like if you're in a bad spot and you got drafted there, I'm going to give you like some leeway. Like, because especially like some of the top level guys get drafted to bad teams. He didn't get drafted to a bad team. He got drafted to a good team. But forced his way out in a trade to a bad team.
Yeah, to a bad team.
That's on you, man.
Yep, you did that.
But at the same time, notice how you don't, like, remember, I forget which running back it was, but like 2 years ago, there was a running back that was like, you know, basically trashed Andy Reid and was like, you know, I would never go play for him again. And
was it LeSean McCoy?
I thought it was, but like, That was a weird thing because, like, I thought LeSean and Andy got along, but I don't.
Because wasn't it when he won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay then?
Yes, but I think he's kind of backed off that a little bit. But man, it's kind of crazy how, like, people go now. People go now to they go to Kansas City and it seems to, like, revive them, and then it'll fall off and they finish there too.
Yep. So the last big thing around the NFL to talk about is Derrick Henry to the Ravens. I think a big one. I went on record a few weeks ago. I'm going on record here again, even after all these moves. I am not picking the Ravens to win that division. I'm sticking with the Bengals. I think this is one of the, and I don't blame the Ravens for adding him because that is now a really terrifying offense. But I am sticking with the Bengals for better or worse. That could be a stupid thing. I'm sticking with them. I really thought other teams would be interested in Derrick Henry, sort of like the Chargers.
Yeah.
To go to the Ravens and
or the Cowboys
Yeah, who they say the Cowboys never called. But yeah, I think Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, that's going to be interesting for some defensive coordinators. But something just tells me they're going to be able to stop it.
Well, yeah, because you're going to put like 9 guys in the box now.
The Ravens receivers are going to have to win. Like, that's what it comes down to. And if they do, look out.
Right.
Because if you've got to play more than one down in nickel defense against them, and they can leave Henry on the field against, you know, like, whew.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Yep.
But got to make it happen.
Yep. So we're wrapping up here. Justin's in the final seconds. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Joe Mays and JRAF Show, episode 397. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hope everyone had a fantastic day celebrating, wearing green, having fun, enjoying our show, despite all the technical issues at the beginning. And even here a little at the end, it's always fantastic. But Justin and I enjoy playing these games and just talking. I know this one wasn't as maybe sports-centered as we're used to, but that happens this time of year. We will be previewing baseball next week, Justin, on 398.
My parents were at the Phillies game today.
Hey, awesome. They saw a tie.
Yes.
But yeah, that's always fun when they get to go down there. I know a lot of people that have gone down this spring. A lot of people have gone down. A lot of optimism around the Phillies. I know at least one already was a buster that predicted the Phillies to win.
Oh, I missed it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, one of the big-time national writers already picked Phillies to win the World Series. I love it. So, I'm excited. Justin and I will talk Phillies next week, maybe with Kevin Quimby. I don't know. We'll see if he's able to join us. And we got a few more weeks of college football. Oh, I did see Justin. I think I sent this to you. I didn't get to see if you responded yet, but EA College Football did announce that all the bowl games will be in the game, except the ones played at like the baseball stadiums, unfortunately. So no Pinstripe Bowl, I guess.
Okay.
But all the other ones will be in. So very excited for that. And they have most of the college players have signed on, thankfully. And I'm excited for that. We've got a trailer for that probably in about 6 to 8 weeks. A lot of fun stuff happening. I'm excited for Ghostbusters this week in college basketball. And I'm excited, Justin, that we got 2 wins here tonight and moved to, 5-1 now? Should be sticking at the 2 or the 3 and looking good to maybe defend our national championship.
2 shutouts tonight, too.
Yeah. Good job by you. And not too shabby, beating Alabama and then taking out Southern Miss here. But, I think that's it. Anything else to say, Justin? Anything you want to mention before we go?
Nah, not off the top of my head, no.
All right. Well, then I will close it out and say thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next Sunday, March 24th, 6:30. Remember, that's the old new time or the new old time as we adjust things here. So 6:30 on Sundays, March 24th will be episode 398, talking MLB preview, March Madness, and I'm sure I'll get to talk a little bit about reviewing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. No spoilers in case Justin hasn't seen it by then, if we've taken him to the theater or not. But all right, that's it. So thanks for everything. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Hopefully next week will be a little better. For Justin Rafoff, I'm Joe Mays. Until next time, enjoy the week.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show, brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop. Woo-hoo! You can watch each weekly episode live on Facebook, Periscope, or YouTube. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. You can also rate and review us on many of these platforms as well. We'd love to hear from you. Send your email to the Mays Sandwich Shop inbox at joemaysandjraff@gmail.com. The Joe Mays and J-Raff Show is a part of the JMNJR Radio Network, home to other productions such as The Bulldog Hour, Tangents with Friends, and Nat Chats with Dad. Until next time.